Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Giovanni Giorgio Moroder, and I'm from Italy.
You've spent time recently, a supercar, an apartment complex, cognac. You've done, you know, you came back to what you're doing now after a long, long time. And you know, people would say that theoretically in your mind, you've probably never stopped.
Well, I kind of stopped because I as like you said, I had so many other projects, but I did one of the themes of the Olympics in Beijing, which was quite a job.
It was quite a job.
I went to Japan to Beijing about 7 times. I recorded the same song with 4 or 5 different Chinese singers, and I just recently, I checked, I had 100 different versions of that song, from the first demo to the last, 100.
And you thought dealing with Neil Bogart was tough?
Yeah, no, this like I had one.
That's a different A&R person.
Oh God, yeah, but he was great, actually, yeah.
Italy at 19, musician, Berlin. But the thing that really always surprises me when you talk about it, when you say your name to people, they're like, Donna Summer, disco, and they go through the same things. But what I learned, even when I was a kid, my dad gave me a phonograph when I was 4 years old, and it came with 25 Decca 45s. It came with Rock Around the Clock by Bill Haley and the Comets, right? And that's where I learned music from. And you were Beatles and Elvis, which is really interesting because the big thing that I kind of want to explain to people about you is that the music that you composed, it was about great songs. It wasn't about a genre. It wasn't about disco. It started with great songs and great melodies, right?
Well, I had two songs, which one is Bubblegum, Looky Looky, which you just showed me, which has a great melody. And I still, if I hear it now, I still love it. Yeah. And then I had my first big major hit was Son of My Father, which, by the way, was one of the first, the first pop song utilizing a synthesizer.
And I didn't bring you my copy by Chicory Tip, by the way, but I do have it.
Yeah, that.
Which for me, you know, but then they also did a bunch of other things. That was really a strange moment for UK bands.
Well, it was a bad day for me because I had my song ready to come out, and my publisher went to England to see if she can find a deal for my record.
And
suddenly, Esterby, that's his name, yeah, said, "Oh, I do a cover right now with a group called Chicory Tip," and they went to number one.
So when you went to the other side to become a performer, and now you're a DJ, but you mentioned you don't use turntables, but when you were learning to DJ, did you have to learn to beat match? Because engineers were always kind of doing things, right?
You know, I started about 2 years to do DJ. At that time, you had CDJ, you had all the new programs, I'm using Ableton Live.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, and it's great exactly, because it's Ableton is more like a inline, the song starts to
You're
the end. I'm a composer more than and producer
yeah,
more than
right,
a DJ mixing from one turntable to the next one. So I didn't really have to learn that much because Ableton is a piece of cake. I mean, you learn it fast.
One of the things that I read, and I think I really want to go here because I think it's important. One of the things you've talked about is that back then, if you wanted a female vocalist, you could say, I want this female vocalist. The ramifications and the amount of work it takes and the contracts and everything to just get this together is just Herculean, isn't it?
It's this one took more than 2 years to do. It's communication is the main problem. In order to get to a nice lady like Charlie XCX, you have to go through the assistant manager, then the manager, and then if you're lucky.
I'm just going to say this. You're you. When don't they pick up? And the problem is that they pick up the phone and they're not really doing their homework, are they?
No, it's first of all, I go through my manager, so my manager contacts them,
right,
and they don't answer. Sometimes they're too busy. Sometimes they answer immediately, but in general, communication with the artists right now is so much more difficult than like, let's say, 20, 30 years ago. I have the feel that the singers are so busy right now with all the projects they have, and Charlie XCX, who sings with other artists, yeah. Sia, who sings with 200 different people, right? So it changed a lot. It's all much more complicated.
You mentioned you were kind of disappointed about what happened with this record. Now, disappointed is kind of an interesting thing, because I would imagine that, you know, in your world and the things that you've accomplished, were you talking disappointed about radio play? Because sales, as we know, is not even, you know, a relevant factor anymore. It's not where any money is made, right?
Well, the main problem was the promotion, I think, was not that great.
They didn't know what to do.
For example, Sia was supposed to come out with a single more than a year ago. Then she was busy doing something else, so that was postponed. Then the rest was postponed, and let's not forget that the record comes out in about, let's say, 20 major countries in the world. So one song comes out in Germany at one point, in Italy maybe it comes out 2 months later. Italy did a good job on Sia, did a good job on Britney Spears. In England, they had other ideas. In England, they had Carly.
And they couldn't get along and agree.
It's a big problem, because every country now has their own
A&R,
and you have to almost to be a Daft Punk to say, okay, this is the single, this is the day, this is the hour, and this is the video.
I remember yesterday, aside from I Feel Love, I think I've played Love on Kind more times than any human being on the face of the earth. In fact, I've gotten used to queuing it up on the vinyl and being able to figure out where to start it, because, you know, because of the way that record is sequenced. I've gotten really good at slip cueing it and doing it, which is really geeky. But one of the things that I read, which I didn't know until I was doing my research tonight, is, you know, because I said to myself, okay, you've got a Phil Spector track, you've got a Supremes track, you're paying tribute to eras. But what I didn't know until I really did that is that your intention for I Feel Love was the future. And I thought that was absolutely, I was taken aback in a beautiful way, because I'm thinking, what the heck was that doing on this record? And now when I read that, after all these years, I was like, I get it now. But I'm willing to bet you that 98% of the world listening to that record is listening to what's on there and going, wait, there's horns. No, wait a minute, there's a Phil Spector reverb. And then, what the heck is this?
Well, the concept was to have a song in the sounds of the 50s, the 60s,
right,
and then, of course, the 70s.
Right.
But I didn't consider that what you just said, that if you don't know the thought behind it, you don't know what, why this song?
Yeah.
But the idea was to have in the 70s, do a song which would hopefully last until 2015.
But you didn't know, and this is a well-told tale, but I'm going to do it a different way. How does a Moog go out of tune?
Well, at the beginning, it was a simple sinus tone, which is not stable.
Right.
So
the sine wave is stable
in the big sense, but not musically. For it. So you create one sound, and after 2 minutes, that sound changes slightly. But instead of 440, it's 480, 442, and so it's out of tune. So I Feel Love, I had the four notes playing dung 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 dung. So I played them 20 seconds. Stop, go back, tune them, and start again. That doesn't happen, of course, now. Now they're all quartz, so they are perfectly
beautiful. When did you know? And I know I'm going to just skip the tale about the engineer and putting the reverb, because that's been told so many times. But what point in the studio, when you're listening to it, did you say, I did it, I've created the future?
That was exactly when, which I just said, in several interviews, when the engineer or me added that delay. Because the original was dung 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 dung, and then it became
da 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 da. It was nothing you had ever heard before.
No, no. I mean, there were some songs like starting dung 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 dung, but never in that da 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 in that left right with a delay. And then some of the songs had just one note going on forever, while mine was dung 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 dung. And the fact that the whole song is basically played with one instrument, one Moog synthesizer. I think I had one of the Italian polyphonic stuff, mm-hmm. but it was all the drums, everything was created in the Moog.
And that's a great segue, because again, as I'm listening to a lot of the music tonight on the way here, the first thing I'm saying is there's an assumption, especially today, that electronic music is just that. Now, when I pulled out my copy of From Here to Eternity tonight to listen to it, there's a note on the record saying everything on this album is electronic. However, Keith Forsey, Harold Faltermeyer, Dave, you had a lot of horns. You had real instrumentation, and there was that perception back then that disco, you know, was all electronic. But the fact of the matter is that there were a ton of real musicians and horns and everything else, but it was the synthesizer that was the kind of the underpin that put all the other stuff together. But I want to kind of clear that up, because people are kind of like, electronic music, well, he was the king. And it's like, but wait a minute. No, you were the king of great songs and rhythms that had an electronic base to them.
A lot of those early, my early disco songs did not have any electronics.
That's like what I'm getting at.
Love exactly. To Love You Baby was all musicians, real strings. And it really started with I Feel Love, when I added the bass line and I added. But then again, after I Feel Love, I went back with real instruments, except From Here to Eternity, which obviously, after the success of I Feel Love, I did the whole album with those sounds. But even after, it's very difficult to do, let's say drums. It's difficult to create a drum in a synthesizer. It just doesn't.
But people try all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you hear the same click tracks over and over and over again on a lot of music today, right?
Well, the sounds are getting so much better. Now you can have millions of sounds in one touch. Then you had to create each one, and it was really hard.
So there's so much to say about film, and we only have a few minutes. Flashdance, to me, is an anthem, right? I think I've worn out multiple copies of Maniac, and some of the deeper tracks on there. Back then, when you got a soundtrack, it wasn't just about the song, it was about the whole thing. And that whole album has got some incredible tracks on it, but it all kind of connects. And so when you were doing things like that, and particularly that movie, obviously, what did they give you that you were able to put all that together? Because obviously she had to dance to that track. It wasn't a post score, because it couldn't have been, right?
Well, there was Adrian Lyne, who is a great visual guy, who came from commercial, who had that feel, let's do it fast. Jerry Bruckheimer, who is a great music guy. The movie I liked. Obviously, I had the idea of What a Feeling, which kind of gave me almost the idea it's done.
Right, like you have the
big moment. You have the big hit. Then the song came in Maniac, which is still a classic now. Then the great song with Kim Carnes when the grandmother dies. Yes. And then a song which was Lady Lady, which then was, I think, the third single out.
Yeah. Even though you took time off, it must feel good that your influence has never gone away, whether it's Beyonce or, you know, now, you know, work with Skrillex and all of that. You know, you went away, but you never went away. Were you aware of that as you were kind of going through life?
Well, I was aware mostly since the internet comes out, and so you read articles about this guy inspired by this song and Donna Summer inspired this. So even if I was not actively in the music, I was reading about supposed to be inspired songs. So I kind of knew what's going on with people getting inspired by, especially by I Feel Love, for example.
You missed an architecture exam and you became a musician, right?
Yeah, I got, I think about 2 weeks before the exam, I got an offer to become a musician, nothing like professional, but musician. And I just said, if I don't do the exam, then I would have to repeat the year.
You planned your fate, didn't you?
I did.
And you don't regret that for a moment. Do you look at buildings and say, I could have built that?
Yes, I know I never do that. And I know I had a hard time with my parents for like, even when I had my first number one, even when I had a house in Los Angeles.
What industry are you in?
Yeah,
and
my mother would still say, do you know what, if you would have continued, you could work here in this town.
What I've done with 600 artists, and it's become a collectible, is I have them build a musical sandwich. And that is to really tell people about the artist. And what it is in this case is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.